الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم One of the things that we don't really think about very often is about what's real and what's not. We almost take for granted that everything around us is real. Right? You know, anyone were to ever ask you, well, how do you know it's real? Right? How do you know it's real? Well, you can say that, you know, I feel it, and it feels, you know, real. Or I touch it, or I see it, or I smell it. I just know it's real. And there have been philosophers who've delved so deep in the subject that they come into sort of this type of thinking that we don't know anything is real, right? You know, all of this could be a dream, right? Yeah, and it could not be a dream too. But how do we know that things are real? The fact of the matter is that we make that determination based on our existential experience. We understand that, and we believe that to be the truth. Right? We ultimately believe that to be the truth. And one who does not believe that to be the truth is really not sincere, because if it was a dream, then it wouldn't matter if I took all of his wealth. It wouldn't matter if I killed him, right? Because it's just a dream. It doesn't matter. But he said, no, don't do that. I care about that. Right? Why do you care about it if you really believe it to be a dream? So if you really believe this to be unreal, then you should, you know, sort of play out on the logical ramifications that ensued thereof. So if one of the things that we must ultimately believe, or we do believe, right, in our daily lives, is that everything around us is real. The Arabic word for reality is what we call haqiqa, right? And it has the root haq. So that which we perceive to be real, right, must also be true. Right, that is truth. There has to be an element of truth to reality. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His holy book, Inna wa'ada Allahi haq. Indeed the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Right? And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kullu man alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. That everything upon it shall be annihilated, and only the glorious face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. So ultimately, the true reality that is not dependent on anything else for its existence is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is true in a way that nothing else can be true. Right? He is real in a way that nothing else can be as real as Him, in that sense. He is reality. He is Haqq. In fact, His name is Al-Haqq. Right? He is Al-Haqq. He is the truth. All of these philosophers, all of these people who are searching for the truth, right? They're not searching for anything except for Allah. That inner desire to find out what things really are, right? To have some type of anchor when everything seems so imaginary and so surreal, right? It's actually an inherent search to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as departing from this point, right? Now, no one would argue with me that, you know, an apple that I may be holding in my hand or this computer that's sitting in front of me, right, has a reality to it. And it just feels real, right? When I talk to you, I feel like real to you. Now, recently, you know, there was one sheikh who had a dream. And in his dream, it was the day of Qiyamah, right? And in his words, it just seemed real. It seemed like, you know, the way that I hold my daughter, right, and I feel her soft body in my arms, right, and the way that I walk along the street, and then when the wind blows and it passes through my hair, and that feels real. For him, it was every bit as real as that. So he gets up in his dream, and it's the day of Qiyamah. and his kids are running to him. They're anxious, right? They're worried. There seems like chaos all about, right? And then it's almost unbelievable, but it was so believable because it was happening, right? It's like the way that when you touch the concrete floor of the streets that make up the sidewalks, they felt the same, right? When you put your hand on the wall of the brick building, it felt the same, right? It just so happened that it was an alternate dimension and now you're on Qiyamah, right? The game was over, right? The game was over. And there was an ajeeb and a sukoon on the individual. He kept on thinking about the sunnah of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so on and so forth. And I mean, the dream goes on. But one of the interesting things happens in a later scene in the dream, where he's lying in a hospital and he's on a bed, right? And then skip one bed over and there's another scholar, right? A mufti, who's on that bed. And so the sheikh, he calls over to the mufti. He says, "Mufti, is it qiyamah?" Right? And it just, like the way that we sleep on our pillows, right? And you can feel the pillow under your neck, right? The way that you feel the support from your bed, it felt the same way, right? He said, "Mufti, I can't believe it. It's a qiyamah." Right? It's like, this is really happening. And he says, "Yeah, it's qiyamah." And he's like, he's like, "Is it too late, right? Is it too late to make istighfar?" And so the mufti says, "Yeah, it's too late. Because we know that once the sakarat begin, once a person gets into the throes of death, and the unseen becomes seen to them, then the test is over." Right? The test is to bring belief on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you don't see it. Right? The test is believing in the unseen. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in the unseen. When it becomes seen, then what's... I mean, anyone will believe in that. Right? Anyone could believe to that. So, he says, "Yeah, it seems like that." So from a legalistic standpoint, that was totally true, right? But of course, you know, sometimes in the mashayikh, their hearts are so, you know, full of hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's so much tadarru, he said, "You know what, it doesn't matter, I'm still going to beseech Allah." Right? What else is a person going to do, right? Except for beg for Allah. When, you know, everything's done, you can't do, you know, it's like, you know, the deadline is over, the homework's not going to be accepted, right? Or like, you know, you had to apply for the MCAT and you missed the date, right? And you're like, "No, I really want to apply." And they're like, "No, sorry. Date's over, right? I want to apply for my green card. Sorry, date's over, right? It's too late. You can't apply. You have to wait for the next cycle." It just so happens in the Akhirah, there's no next cycle. You only had one cycle to apply. When it's over, even the people in this world don't make exceptions, right? And when we know that, even though it's a hard reality, people still say, "Come on, please." They try to come up with whatever way. And so similarly, the Shaykh was saying that, you know, "I have to make new istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And so then the Mufti Sahib also started, you know, beseeching Allah. And he said, "Ya Allah, I had a six-digit salary, right? I had a six-digit salary, and I decided to, you know, live in a, you know, broken-down, old home. Live through, you know, meager means, with a paucity of means. And Ya Allah, you know, I've never drank except for rice milk in my entire life." And what it was basically an ishara to, it was an insinuation towards the fact that a person, you know, generally people, they want, as they, you know, develop wealth, they, you know, try to increase their standard of living. Right? Rasulullah, his standard of living was always the same. Whether he was, you know, thrown out and boycotted in a valley, or whether he was the king of Arabia, he didn't change his standard of living. It's not like he got a $30,000 bonus and he said, "No, I can afford a 3-bedroom house rather than a 2-bedroom house." It was the same still. Months, you know, would go without the fire cooking in his home. His poverty that he chose was volitional. Right? It was his choice. The mountains could have been turned to gold for him, but he purposefully made a choice that I want to live poor. And that's a very difficult thing to do when you have the ability to live rich, right? One thing is that you're poor anyway, right? You're a student, you don't have a job, this and that. You don't have a choice. Of course you have to do patience. What else are you going to do? Right? Rage against God? You don't have a choice. But the person who has a choice to be rich and still chooses to live amongst the poor, right? That's really a kamal. That's really amazing. How many people actually do that in their life? And so suggestion in the dream was in those two categories, in the categories of food, right? Now, when we don't have that much money, you know, eating out is a luxury. But when you have more money, then you can say, no, one, every week we'll eat out, or every day we'll eat out, or so on and so forth, when you have a family. It's a luxury. So this person said, I never drank except for mean food. Meaning that he never even got involved in food too much, right? About what's tasty, what's not, what's savory and what's not. No, it didn't matter. He had his eye on the prize. And so the two things which often delude an individual, he didn't give in to those deceits. And so the Shaykh is saying, subhanAllah, this person, this Mufti, at least he has something that he can beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, right? That he lived a life of poverty. And we know that the people who are poor shall enter into Jannah 500 years. They'll enter into paradise 500 years before the rich. Right? They just will have less questions to ask. And when you're in that situation, like the Shaykh was saying, then it makes all the difference in the world. Like, it was just like, you know how you go to sleep, right? You take an afternoon nap and you get up. And you're like, okay, sometimes you just don't know where you are, right? Or you're like, oh my God, it's already afternoon, right? And it's already dusk. And it's sort of dusky outside, and the sun has gone down, and you're like, you're sort of disoriented. That's sort of the feeling, that you just get up, and it's like you just got up from a short nap. Your whole life will just seem like a short nap, and you get up, and you're like, wait, what's going on here? This is so real, right? The sun is coming close. People are screaming. What's going on? It'll be that real. And so then the Shaykh also starts making dua. He says, Ya Allah, I never got a chance to make any good deed towards you. But I made an intention. I don't have that much money. But I was going to take $30, right? And every day, I was going to give $1 for your cause, right? $1 for your cause. I know I don't have that, and I didn't even get a chance to do it, but at least I had the niyyah. So at least accept this niyyah, right? That day, right, that we put off as something which is something a figment of our imagination will not seem so on that day. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مَرْضِعَةٍ أَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. That day will be so heavy, it will be so heavy, that a woman who will be suckling her child to her bosom, she'll throw down the child, right? A woman who will be bearing a child shall literally have an abortion, a miscarriage on the spot, because of the very weight of that day. Right? The question, the weight of what, the crushing questions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks. Anyone who is taken to task on that day, who is asked questions about on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person's feet will not move until they ask five questions as it comes, right? Let's plug it to getting the teleconference, maintaining the teleconference online. So, on that day, where يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. A day where a mother will run away from her child, father will run away from the wife, wife will run away from the husband. No one will care about anyone else. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. Every single person will be worried about themselves, and they'll be so worried that they won't care about anyone else. The Arabic word is يُغْنِيهِ. It will make him rich. Basically what it means is that it will fill a person so much that it doesn't leave a space for him to think about anything else. Right? It will overpower that individual. Imagine running around, right, when the sweat will be coming from the people's foreheads, equivalent, right, to the amount of sins that they have done in their lives. And the sweat will be coming out like boiling water. And people will be burning and boiling in their own sweat, like vegetables on an oven. It comes in Sahih Riwayat that Rasulullah ﷺ states to the effect that people will be raised on the day of Qiyamah naked. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she was shocked. She said, won't Ya Rasulullah? Because these were people of haya. These were people of modesty, right? They couldn't imagine that that would be the case. And so look at how she was thinking. She says, Ya Rasulullah, won't people look at each other? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, things are going to be too bad. Things are going to be too bad to worry about that. The thing that people are so preoccupied in this world will be the last thing on their mind on the day of Qiyamah. Right? It won't be a joke. It won't be a joke. You know, people see it as something that, yeah, is going to come. But we don't see it as something which is going to be real, right? With the sense that how we see it, and it will be real in the sense that we live our life. It'll just be like a continuum. It will just be like, for example, like we said, we took a nap, you got up, and that's the case. And the interesting thing is about Qiyamah, about the final day on doomsday, it comes all of a sudden. It comes all of a sudden. And there's so many places in the Quran where it comes baghtatan, all of a sudden. And I think, قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. Surely they're losers. Right? You want to know who a loser is? The loser is a person who's denied the coming of the final hour. كَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. They didn't think that they were going to meet us. They didn't think that they were going to stand before us. So we were talking about, on that day of crushing questions, a person's feet will not move until they ask five questions. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us one question? Did you act on what you knew? That's enough. Right? If He asks us one question, if you knew I was real, why did you disobey me? Right? If He asks us one question, that if you know that the poor were suffering, why didn't you sacrifice for them? If He asks us one question, right, that where was your youth and how did you spend it? Just crushed. Just crushed. Imagine having to give account for every second, every thought, every intention, every action, every movement, every word in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ نُوْقِشَ هُلِكَ. That whoever halaka, whoever is taken to task, right, and interrogated, if you come to the witness stand, basically you're annihilated. There's no way anyone's going to make it. The only way a person is going to make it on the day of Qiyamah is through the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's what we hinge our hopes on, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful on us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. That's true. Right? That's why He only sent down one part of His mercy, and that's why all the mercy you see in the world, every mother that cares for her child, every animal that protects its young, every father that, you know, tends to his daughter, all of that is a reflection of one part of Allah's mercy, and He kept 99 for the day of Qiyamah. Right? So He can have mercy on sinners like myself. This day is such a reality, has such a reality, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people are going to be losers, right? Are who كَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. They denied the meeting with Allah. قَدْ خَسِرَ الْقَدْ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ السَّاعَةِ. Until the final hour comes upon them. Until doomsday comes upon them, بَغْتَةً. All of a sudden. Right? You know, no one knows when they're going to die. Even in my own family this past week, there's been a slew of deaths. No one knows when they're going to die. When you die, that's your qiyamah. Right? Because that's when the timer stopped now. You don't have a chance now to do any good deeds. Hatta either, in a sense, it's your qiyamah. Right? Because now you've passed over into the next realm, and now whatever you did in this short life, right? This 2-minute life, this blink of an eye, that's going to determine everything that's going to happen for millennia thereafter. وَقْتَدِنْ قَالُوا. When it comes upon them all of a sudden, قَالُوا يَا حَسْرَتَنَا عَلَى مَا فَرَّطْنَا. They said, woe to us. They're going to have hasra, they're going to have grief inside their heart. عَلَى مَا فَرَّطْنَا. On what we missed out. We had a chance. It was, you know, Saturday afternoon, and I sat around saying, I'm bored. Right? I sat around complaining, oh, I have nothing to do. Right? And so I got so bored that I just started, you know, going on the internet and looking at things which don't even make any difference in my life because I had nothing better to do. عَلَامَا فَرَّطْنَا فِيهَا. All the wasted time, every second that we wasted, we're gonna really have remorse for that. We're going to feel guilty about it. It's going to strike our hearts that, man, I could have said one more subhanAllah. I could have said one more Alhamdulillah. I could have said one more Allahu Akbar. Right? عَلَى مَا فَرَطْنَا فِيهَا وَهُمْ يَحْمِلُونَ أَوْزَارَهُمْ عَلَى ظُهُورِهِمْ عَلَى سَاءَ مَا يَغِيرُونَ. That they will be carrying their burden of their own sins on their own backs. Right? Bowing their backs because of the things that they wrought with their own hands. Right? عَلَى سَاءَ مَا يَغِيرُونَ. Is it not terrible? Is it not evil, what they have wrought by their own hands, what they have to carry now upon their own backs. Truly it is. Another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلِ السَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ. For something, it's actually so beautiful, but rather the final hour is أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ, and bitter. If you ever ate something bitter, right? I mean, you just have to, when you look at the balagha of the Quran, Allahu Akbar Kabira, something being bitter, you say murrun. And if you ever taste something bitter, right, something truly tart, it lingers on the tongue, right? There's an aftertaste that it's a very sharp aftertaste, right? That's the best way to describe it. It's very sharp, right? They say tangy, but it has a sharp and it lingers. If you look at the word, the first word is adha. That dal is hard, right? Adha is grievous, right? It's heavy. Adha, and then right after that, right, in juxtaposition to that, you have amal, right? And the last two letters are two ras in a row. It's what we call in Arabic grammar mudaf, right? And when you put it on the pattern of af'alu, right, which makes it into the superlative degree. For example, when you say akbar, right, Allahu akbar, kaf, ba, and ra means to be great, right? And akbar means the greatest, right? So when you put on something on the pattern of akbar, like if take any letter, any word, say za, kaf, and ya means to be pure, and you say azka, that becomes most pure. Akbar becomes the greatest, right? So similarly, if you say amar, right, that means most bitter. But at the end, right, even the word lingers. Right? Even when you hear it, even the word lingers on your tongue. The way Allah SWT has designed the Qur'an, the very words that have been chosen, it strikes the heart, right, if you really understand it. بَلِسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ. Right? It's going to be a bitter day. It's going to be a bitter day. And so it behooves, you know, the salik, the person who's traveling the spiritual path, to take every day seriously. Right? You know, there's people on the day of Qiyamah, in the hereafter, they're going to plead, right? They're going to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, second chance. Ya Allah, one more chance. Right? قَالَ رَبِّ رَجِعُونَ. Right? Ya Allah, send me back. Right? I'll do right. I won't mess up. Right? I'll do right. I know, like I'm seeing this, I know there's Jahannam now, I know there's Jannah now, right? I am going to do everything truly and properly, and I will only obey you. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Send me back, my Lord. قَالَ كَلَّ كَلَّ. Never. Never. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. It's just some words that you're saying. Right? You're just talking talk. You're talking smack. I know you. I put you back in the world, you're going to do the same exact thing over again. You had your chance. You said in those halaqas where it became so clear to you that there is Jannah. You said in those bayans where it became so clear to you that there's Jahannam. And you yourself testified. For you to be a mu'min, you had to testify there's a Jannah and Jahannam. And still you acted the same. What's going to be different? I put you back, and you're going to do the same exact thing all over again. And I tell you honestly, the fact of the matter is, even after you say that, if Allah were to put us back in that situation, we would probably live our lives that same way. Because a human being is made to forget. Right? He has a very short-term memory, and the nafs, if the nafs is ghalib, if the desire is ghalib, even though he knows it's a reality, if he hasn't developed himself from inside, he'll still fall. Right? There's no magical switch that you turn on and say that I become religious. It's a journey. It's a process. It takes years to become righteous. Right? Illa masha'Allah. You gotta start working on it. Right? You gotta start working on it. And you have to see every single day, every single hour that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us as a chance that, you know, on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're never going to be able to get back. But in this day, every day when we wake up, right? أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Right? الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا بَعْدَمَا أَمَاتَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورَ. That dua is so deep. If you keep this context in the background, then you think about this very simple dua that we recite every morning when we get up. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, thank you. Right? Thank you. Ahyana ba'da ma amatana. You have made us alive after we have died. Right? You know when you're doing really good in a game, right? When you're doing really good in a video game, you get to a very high level, then all of a sudden your like little brother comes and he accidentally hits the power off button. You get so mad, right? And you wish that there's some magical button that you could push that would reset the game to exactly where you were, right? You wish that you could get back to the same spot, right? But alas, once it's off, you have to start all over again. When the final power off button is pushed, right, then it's really done, right? That's when you die and you're, you know, 6 feet under. But every day when we get up in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a chance to reset. That's why you say, thank you, Allah. That day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, kalla, never. But every single day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, naam, sure, I'll give you another chance. Sure, I'll give you another chance. Imagine a person who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with thousands and thousands and thousands of days of extra chances, and on that day he comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one more chance. He said, what did I give you those 10,000 chances for in everyday life? And every day you got up in the morning and you're thanking me for that extra chance, but you didn't take use of it. Right? أَحْيَانَ بَعْدَ مَا أَمَاتَنَا. And then you remind yourself, وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. And to him is our return. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the reality of the Akhirah so real to us that it becomes more real than this life that we are living. And may allow us to live every single life, every single day of our life as if it is our last day. If it was truly our last day, I tell you honestly, there's many things that we wouldn't really care about. Would we really care about the tulips that we're planting in the front if they're red or they're yellow? Right? Would it really matter, right, if my shirt matches with my pants? Would it really matter that, oh, you know, I don't feel like eating chips? Oh, you'd spend like 15 minutes walking through the supermarket aisle. Do I need to drink tropical punch today or fruit punch? And you're trying to determine. Or do I feel like cappuccino today or do I feel like mocha? Right? It doesn't matter. Drink something and go, hey? Right? Time is short. And the clock is ticking. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this reality of the Akhirah into our lives. And allow us to live every single moment of our lives as if it is our last, and allow us to be amongst those who are on the day, on the last day, in the last hours. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. They have neither fear nor regret, and they achieve ultimate success. And may He enter us all into Jannah together without any hisab. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.